The African continent takes another step toward making and distributing its own COVID-19 vaccines. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. 10 billion doses of COVID-19 vaccines have been administered globally, but less than a quarter of the African continent's population has received even one of them. That inequity, the World Health Organization says, has been largely driven by where vaccines are produced. And it hopes that gap will narrow with the announcement today to create facilities across six African nations that'll use mRNA technology found in Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines to make locally produced shots for the continent. The European Commission has invested roughly $45 million to help set up those facilities. Making the announcement at a press conference today, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said the deal marks not just a major step forward in the global pandemic, but Africa's vaccine sovereignty too.
We invest 40 million euros as the Commission with Germany, France and Belgium because we are deeply convinced it's the right way to go. Today, of all the vaccines applied in Africa, 1% is produced in Africa. And rightly so, the goal is in 2040 to have reached a level of 60% of vaccines produced in Africa that are administered in Africa.
So how exactly will these new facilities work? The BBC's Peter Okwoche is in Brussels, where a summit between the EU and the African Union is wrapping up today.
The six countries who have been named, Egypt, Kenya, Nigeria, Senegal, South Africa, and Tunisia, they will receive the technology from the WHO's Global mRNA Vaccine Hub, with which they can now make their own jabs on the continent. We do know that scientists in South Africa were able to copy the Moderna vaccine a few weeks ago, but that is not in mass production. This is the first time it's going to go into mass production on the continent. The technology is designed by Africa, led by Africa, and owned by Africa. So yes, a pretty big deal for everybody involved.
The problem so far has been about the recipes for making these vaccines, hasn't it? And the discussion has been around patent sharing and not so much around production by itself. So does this new deal sort of solve that problem? As you made reference to the Moderna version that scientists have come up with, will it be the focus on making those kinds of vaccines rather than the already approved vaccines that we've seen made in the rest of the world?
And therein lies the question, because this is still a pretty vague statement from the WHO and Ursula von der Leyen. Suffice it to say that even if it means bringing the technology from abroad into Africa and then producing the vaccines on the continent, it is, either way, a step forward for the African continent.
Now, moving away from vaccines for a second, the EU is Africa's biggest trading partner, but very few people on the continent seem to know that. And that's been a big reason for this wider conference this week. Do you think anything will change? What progress has been made in this conference this week?
Both groups, you know, painted a very glossy, a very rosy picture of their relationship in a communique that they issued at the start of the conference. But there's actually a bit more to that than meets the eye. Yes, Europe is Africa's biggest trading partner bloc, but Europe is also increasingly worried about the fact that Africa is gravitating towards China more and more. They're seeing it easier to do business with Africa. And Africa, on the other hand, feels more and more neglected by Europe. We've been talking about vaccines. If you look at the last 2 years of the pandemic, Africa believes that, you know, Europe has not fulfilled its promise to deliver COVID-19 vaccines to the continent. So it's a very close relationship, a very healthy relationship, but one that has got multiple cracks. And I've spoken to one or two analysts who believe, well, the cracks will not be completely blocked off. You know, they might just be papered over.
There had been a possibility for a new trade and investment deal between the six-nation East African community and the EU announced at the summit this week, but hopes of that, it seems like, have been quashed today. Is that right?
Well, yes. A lot of analysts believe that Africa has come here with one voice, but you've mentioned the East Africa community bloc, and they are six different blocs on the continent. They also have their own interests that they want to bring to bear on the European Union. As you mentioned, in the EAC, they had agreed a deal with the EU, but Tanzania, which is, you know, one of the big economies in the EAC are refusing to ratify that deal as is, because they say that if it's ratified, it means cheap products will flood Tanzania from Europe with none going back to Europe in return. So Africans might be trying to speak in one voice here at this summit, but we are seeing some divisions.
The BBC's Peter Okoche for us in Brussels. Thanks for breaking this down for us.
My pleasure.
Checking the numbers now, global stock markets are taking a bit of a breather this morning as tensions between Russia and Ukraine continue to intensify. Benchmarks in Asia ended slightly lower. Hong Kong's Hang Seng, though, was dragged down nearly 2%. That's amid a regulatory crackdown on food delivery platforms. Here in Europe, shares are flat as investors do keep tabs on those geopolitical developments. Russia's defense ministry says it will test nuclear forces and launch ballistic and cruise missiles in what it calls a routine training process on Saturday. That comes as Ukraine and pro-Russian separatists have again accused each other of renewed shelling in the Donbas region. Well, we know water is a vital life source, but it's also becoming increasingly useful in crime solving. On average, it costs police here in the UK more than $850 to respond to one domestic abuse incident. But so-called smart water kits could save police forces hundreds on each deployment. The BBC's Shona McCallum explains how the traceable liquids work.
Smart water is a coded liquid. You can't see the code with the naked eye, but under UV lamps, the liquid shows up fluorescent yellow. For years, it's been used to protect property and deter thieves, but now it's been used to convict someone for harassment. Last month, a man in Wakefield was jailed for breaching a non-molestation order. He'd been told to stay away from his former partner. When he turned up at her house, she sprayed him with the liquid.
She was able to spray the perpetrator who was trying to get into her address, and during a subsequent investigation, we managed to find that solution on his clothing, which helped bring the perpetrator to justice.
Detective Superintendent Lee Berry there. It was his idea to bring the smart water technology to West Yorkshire's police domestic violence strategy.
This is helping the victims to gain control again of their lives. This is about creating a safe space. It repels the perpetrator from wanting to come back to the address through the fear of being forensically marked. And that's where we're starting to see the success.
The smart water helped the police prove the man was at the scene of the crime, because each batch of the liquid has a unique chemical formulation. It also stays on the skin for up to 6 weeks and on clothing for much longer. At the smart water lab in Telford, scientists make up the solution. And from just one drop, they can tell exactly which bottle it came from. Rachel Oakley is the director of Smart Water's intelligence unit.
I can't tell you the secret sauce to Smart Water, but what I can tell you is that it's made up of a combination of rare elements that would never be found naturally anywhere else in the world. And so every bottle of Smart Water has a different amount of those particles within it, and then each batch is unique. It will never be repeated anywhere else, and so we know categorically that that is the code within that batch of smart water, and that will then be registered back to wherever it ends up.
And she says the forensic markings are more effective as a deterrent than CCTV.
CCTV might not identify that categorically that was that person, particularly if they were wearing something like a balaclava. Suddenly the element of doubt is there and you can't categorically prove that, whereas there is no element of doubt in something like smart water that we can categorically prove came from that address.
West Yorkshire, South Yorkshire and Staffordshire police forces are the ones that have so far given the smart water to more than 200 domestic violence victims, but other forces are expected to follow suit. Detective Superintendent Berry again.
We'd be really pleased if we could see this take off nationally. I suppose the test of this, about how well this does work, is that generalisation. We need to put it across different forces, different counties, different environments. Let's build that evidence base to show what works.
The majority of the victims have told the police their perpetrators didn't hassle them again as a result of knowing they might be forensically marked.
Some of the key things that our victims are telling us is they're having less contact from the perpetrator. Approximately 70% of them are saying they're having no further contact from the perpetrator. They're experiencing less abuse and less incidents. It's improving their trust and confidence in the police too.
They also said they believed they were safer as a result of having the cans of smart water in their homes. This technology isn't new, but the application in a domestic violence setting is, and it is working. I'm the BBC's Shona McCallum for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.